So in the beginning, it does not show up, the samadhi. But when it's that stage.
But it's still right concentration by virtue of panya only.
Without panya, nothing can be right.
When you say it only shows up at that stage,
like now, does it show up?
No.
The samadhi,
no.
See?
It's not apparent. So are you saying at the moments of vipassana jnana or after that, or whenever?
At the moment of vipassana jnana.
And what about concentration on something, on a candle or shooting an animal? Isn't that the
akusala
characteristic of
samadhi? Because it arises with each citta.
So is that knowing the characteristic of samadhi?
When one has the idea of wanting to do something so hard at that moment, the characteristic of samadhi appears as that is samadhi. But it's not like
it's
when
samadhi.
It accompanies panya.
So if samadhi appears now, you can be sure it's wrong samadhi.
We cannot escape.
We cannot escape. You mean it's just like any time, anywhere.
Yeah.
It's so natural.
There's no escape.
Nope.
See, you don't have to look for escape anymore. That's a good thing about accepting there's no escape. Except by developing understanding, that's escape. But it's not escape in the conventional use of the word.
Do we know our future?
No.
Sometimes we think we do.
Yes, but what about what would happen next moment?
No idea.
No idea, and that is future too.
If we don't know what's this moment, then we don't know what's anything. We just know a story. Like, in half an hour we're going to have lunch.
Maybe more than half.
Just to follow a little more on Al's people questions, and your response was, well, now we're talking about Dhamma, so there are just Dhammas, there are not people, but outside the Dhamma context, of course, we all talk about people. This is just
yes,
part
and
of that.
We know better and better when we talk about people, but
that.
We don't know better when we talk about Dhamma.
Why not?
Now it's Dhamma.
This is Dhamma,
yeah.
Yes.
Not just the word.
Right.
Reality.
Yes. So when we're not just talking about dhammas and we're talking about people with or without any right understanding, most of the time it's akusala. But also sometimes we're saying nice things about people or speaking kindly. So sometimes it may be akusala citta. And again, usually without any understanding, but there may be with some understanding. Some people have the idea that one should always say good or positive things about people only, or they have the idea that if you say good or positive things that it's kusala. But again, it just depends on the citta.
Yeah, and I think that is after the understanding of Dhamma, but not at the moment of developing understanding of Dhamma.
What I'm saying is that even when we say good or positive things, it may not be realistic or not be kusala.
But we cling also to story.
We cling to stories a lot.
In order to have less clinging to story, when we talk about Dhamma, we understand better about Dhamma and daily life too.
Especially if we don't even know the characteristic of kusala and akusala, then we're likely to just follow a story of doing things. Doing certain things.
I thought of it because I remember also in the old days I always would say, oh, so-and-so is developing lots of understanding or something's good. And Khunsu Chin used to say to me, oh, you're such an optimist. You're always so optimistic, but it's not realistic. But conventionally we have an idea that being optimistic or saying positive things is good. But again, it's just another situation or story. Always taking away from understanding Dhammas.
Usually when we think about doing good to others, it's nothing but something for ourselves we're doing.
Right, we feel more comfortable that way or something. I think your point is that by understanding more about dharmas, whatever arises, whatever way one thinks, whether one's thinking good things or bad things, or whether it's kusala or akusala, anything arises by conditions, and more understanding can develop. Mm,
yeah, and the understanding is sankhara khanda, which will condition right speech and right deeds later. You don't have to worry much about
right.
it.
Right, or cling to it.
Yeah.
I would just say that I prefer developing understanding of nama and rupa than to be so concerned about having more kusala, I mean, developing more metta and all that. Since I don't know metta, I don't know. I mean, I could be fooling myself.
You have a choice.
Exactly. Getting back to your original point about saying only nice things about people, I guess there's still for me a slight issue here in that I think most of our speech is akusala, and one's conscious of that, but I don't know if there's much that can be done about it. But
thank you. To do?
Yeah.
Or to understand?
To understand. This gets back to Sukhin's comment that the value of the moment of understanding is a characteristic of a presently arising Dhamma is more valuable than still. For me, there's a slight idea of having restraint of kusala in speech and that kind of thing, but you would say that...
Depending on accumulations.
Depending on accumulations.
Anatta. Anatta.
Yeah. Yeah, but the speech can still be a kusala even if
it's
it doesn't
already
say
spoken.
What you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. It's already spoken. The best moment in one's life is the moment of understanding, moment with awareness and moment without awareness. And this is the point of listening and considering them.
Some people think following that better to be quiet or away from people, so less conditions for wrong speech or an action not to occur or whatever, or for there to be more kusala. But again, it's just thinking and not understanding conditioned dharmas.
Even that the lack of understanding of how much akusala there is even when you're by yourself.
Right.
I think it's just not really appreciating the conditioned nature of dharmas.
Could you explain a little bit more about Gayatri?
Gayatri.
The
way.
The behavior of cheetahs and the behavior of akusala and the behavior of panya, cheetahs with. There's some connection with rebirth consciousness with regard to charya. What is that?
As long as there is cause for something to arise,
right.
It has to arise.
Right, okay. So as long as there's conditions for birth, mm-hmm. then there has to be...
Who can start seeing to arise?
Yes.
There are conditions for its arising, and that is vijnana.
Vijnana.
Once there is rebirth consciousness, it has to go on to the end. That's why we can't understand what is meant by vijnana jariya. It has to be like this. There must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
So why limit to this lifetime birth to the end? Why not say since beginning
on
was
and on and on.
Yeah. As long as there are conditions.
And we can also say while there are conditions for cheetahs to arise, there has to be a kusala.
Without panya.
Without
it has to be a kusala.
And what is the point of stressing panya, charya?
It's
that
just the only thing to get out of the circle of
okay.
birth and death.
So it's another way of looking at
no.
the circle of birth
no.
and death.
Even the life in heavens or Rupa Brahma, it just arise and fall, so nothing is left. But the panya is accumulated until it can experience the true nature of realities.
I think you mentioned last time we were here that Satipatthana had been developed only in the Brahma realms. Can there be any recollection of Satipatthana in a previous life? Is that right?
Any Sukhati Bhumi can be plane of development of Satipatthana. Mm-hmm. But for the Arupa Brahma, it's impossible to be Sotapanna since there's no Rupa.
But any sukhati bhumi, usually we would say if there is hearing of Dharma again, because there may well be the opportunity to hear Dharma again. Like, but if there's no chance to hear Dharma again, did you say that in...
It's exactly like this world. There are lots of people who have no opportunity to hear, and there are some who have, and there are those who do not have yet, but since they had listened quite a lot from long time ago, can be conditioned to consider reality with right thinking and right awareness. Especially when it's the level of vipassana jnana, because this life and next life is only one moment. This consciousness has fallen away and patisanti citta arise. So it's shorter than just moving your hand.
Okay. I've always wanted to ask you whether the grandchildren that live in your house and your nieces and nephews and all these people, are they any of them interested in Dharma?
Yes.
Not yet. Why I'm asking is that you can even be living right next to the most fantastic teacher and you still don't have the conditions for listening to the Dharma.
Can we say that in the Deva realms there are other religions also? There are religions.
As long as there are wrong views, see?
As long as there are wrong views. So just to get back to in the Deva realms, if there's been the development of Satipatthana or Vipassana Jnanas, even if there is not a chance to hear the teachings
for
again.
For those who have developed to that degree of Vipassana
Jnana, it must be two Vipassana Jnana, there can be conditions for Satipatthana to arise. This isn't anything to do with the fact that in those...
Depending on the accumulation like Anatta, Bindika and Visakha, they didn't enlighten until they listened to the teachings. Even their accumulations are almost full with right understanding. So it's just the different accumulation, the individual's accumulation. We cannot say for everyone.
So for those that have, let's say they've developed Satipatthana to the degree of Vipassana Jnana and they're in the Brahma realm, where no opportunity to hear the teaching, but even though no opportunity to hear the teaching, there can be recollection of the teachings and further development of Satipatthana.
Like thinking, we can think about the past. Why? Because of the accumulation. But when it's the accumulation of panya, it can condition understanding of reality right then. So it depends on what levels of understanding that person has accumulated.
And if we were talking about the Bodhisattva in his previous lives and we were saying, okay, well, Satipatthana may have been developed when listening to a Buddha but not to the degree of Vipassana Jnana, could there be recollection or further development of Satipatthana in the lives when he had no chance to hear the Buddha? Yes.
It depends on life, in that life that you mentioned, whether he is monk or lay people or rishi, hermit or something like that. We don't know.
Yes, we don't know.
But the accumulation is not lost.
No.
Even a moment of akusla, just very common, ordinary one, is there to be sankharakanda. So we cannot imagine how it works, each moment of kusla and akusla, which can condition rebirth consciousness to be this person, this life, and other person in other life, with what would happen according to the Bodhisattva citta.
And is there any significance of the fact that in a Brahma realm there may be actual recollection of the teachings heard, whereas, for example, in a human realm we can't remember anything about previous lives, but in a Brahma realm there can
be
recollection?
That's why in the heaven and Brahma world, to be born there is just like waking up from a dream or in the previous life. So there can be the understanding or memory of what has happened.
Of previous lives, like what they heard in the human life. If Satipatthana has been strong enough, more conditions for Satipatthana to arise if there's no opportunity to hear it because of being able to recollect. But not Arupa Brahma.
Like yesterday and today, from human being to the Deva plane, or just now and next moment.
If worldly attachments here basically prevent us from having satipatthana, wouldn't a deva realm be somewhat more difficult to have it?
Well, that's why I think it has to be strong insight that has been developed.
Very strong.
For example, in the Arupa Brahma realm, we know no opportunity to develop satipatthana because rupas don't appear. But if satipatthana had previously been developed to vipassana and jnanas, could there not be sati
of jnanas? We couldn't say anything for everyone.
In Arupa Brahma? But then you said that Arupa Brahmas cannot be satipatthana.
Cannot become satipatthana. But there can be understanding or accumulation. Sure. Understanding, depending on previous accumulation.
But what would stop that understanding from developing? I understand that because there's no rupa,
then there's no namas. But what about the understanding of rupa? Because usually one clings to rupa a lot in a day, not seeing visible object as just a reality.
So no chance to eradicate the latent tendency of that kind of clinging.
And when you refer to the effect of satipatthana in other lives, the effect in terms of conditioning any other kinds of kusala or in the effect in accumulating more wisdom?
And we were discussing briefly on the way here the development of understanding in a lifetime and how one can know that one's better understanding now is the development of insight.
So instead of thinking about this life and next life, what about yesterday and today?
It's the same.
Exactly.
But not necessarily thinking about next life, but just in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If one has a better understanding of things in general, is that development of insight?
Now or later, according to Sankara Khanda.
Jonathan was saying, how can we tell the difference between, just as we get older, if we're a little more aware of the changing natures of things, we've probably lost some relatives, some friends, we see the impermanence in a conventional level of understanding of the nature, and how easily can that be mistaken for some level of banya?
Right, it's like the knife handle simile. When one is looking at the knife to see if the handle has been worn away, you could be mistaken in interpreting what is the wearing away of that knife handle.
Can you see that? The wearing away.
The wearing away. According to the sutta, it can be seen.
Even with some moments of touching?
It has to be many moments of touching.
Until it's worn out.
Until it's worn out, yeah.
But when it's not worn out, who can see the mark of the finger on that?
It's like, is it useful to really contemplate, well, am I just more accepting of the changing nature of things? Or should we just pay attention to now?
Yeah,
and not worry about whether this is a true, deep understanding or just a life experience. Yeah, thinking about it. Not much point to doing that, is it?
It could happen, though. Because when you say paying attention to the now, that's with an idea of a self paying attention. So it's, again, it's just whatever does arise, whether it's thinking that way or it's thinking about something else, it's all the moment, but it's the reality that arises, no matter what is thought about or whatever's going on.
I remember John talking about the sati that knows sati. You have to develop the recognition when, if you've had a moment of sati, you know, right?
And that's usually in the day we think about oneself or others. Because if we concern for the others, it shows that we have less attachment to ourselves. So the way we live, the way we do in a day, can explain about the accumulation, how it works. Because what about thinking that how much I know and the moment of understanding reality? This is quite different. Instead of thinking how much obstacle is there and the moment of beginning to understand.
I think the wearing away of the ads handle, to even know that it's an ads handle in the beginning, is related to understanding how much the understanding of this moment.
Where is the ads handle?
It's in this moment.
Yeah. Wearing away?
How much we understand the moment.
Yeah.
But understanding of the wearing away of the ads handle is not understanding in the conceptual sense. It's understanding of the elements that make up the, whatever the ads handle, hardness or whatever it is. It's not understanding the wearing away of the ads handle itself. It's the understanding of the elements.
Usually when there's any thinking about the ads handle, it's with attachment. So much left to be done, or so much done, or so much not done, or something.
Hands of future.
Yes.
Wasn't the reference to the axe handle the fact that you never see the progress?
Yeah, until one day you see
it.
Yeah.
When there's
right understanding of this word object as no one, it shows that there is the development of understanding the reality or the element of this word object as it is.
Earlier, right at the very beginning of this session, Ajahn said something and then you were commenting on it because I thought about it also, it was about the self. There was something that Ajahn said and then I was thinking about it and then you actually made the comment of the same thing I was thinking about. And it was the fact that there is no self that can think about something.
Like paying attention, it's not I who is paying attention, but it's attention itself. Which arises and performs function and falsely all the time. No matter it's viriya or manasikara or any word we heard about.
The nama just creates the idea that there is someone who can pay attention all the time. And it's not there, it's just this nama rising and falling away. And giving the delusion of that you can pay attention.
Until panya grows to that degree. Even right now, all the jetasikas arising, doing their function, and then falls away. No one there. Thinking, considering, attention. Panya has to develop to that degree of no one there. No one here. Visible object. With sanya.